Being an Iowan, I absolutely love this time of year. Now, obviously, I'm not speaking about the rain, but I love the spring. I love driving from my place down in Bondurant up I-35. I love seeing the farmers out in the field planting. And I love Agrigold. I love everything that the company stands for. They've been fantastic for us to work with at CycloneFanatic.com, and they are very passionate about spreading their word to young farmers, many of whom listen to us. If they're in ag school up at Iowa State, a lot of them are in the combines. I hear from farmers all the time in combines who take in our podcast. It's a great partnership. So thanks to Agrigold for sponsoring today's podcast, which is a very fun one. I had the opportunity to go and sit down with one of the all-time greats at Iowa State, one of the all-time fan favorites for sure, Naz Mitru-Long, for a lengthy interview with him where we promote his upcoming basketball camp and also reflect on his career at Iowa State. We look forward to the Lindell Wigginton era. Naz knows him very well. We learn more about Iowa State's future point guard. And we also talk with Lindsey Finnelly. Late in the podcast, we discuss what the Finnelly family has gone through, of course, with the Nicky Moody lawsuit over the last year that was dropped last week. We get into that as well. Fun podcast today. I think you guys will enjoy it. It's courtesy of Agrigold here at CycloneFanatic.com. I also want to encourage you all to not only subscribe to our feed on iTunes, but please rate us. It really helps us with our rankings. Rate us, leave a review. We would very much appreciate it. Today's podcast with Naz Mitru-Long and Lindsey Finnelly starts now. Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to a little impromptu podcast today. We're in Ames at the beautiful Campus Cycle location here on Lincoln Way. Lindsey Finnelly joins me along with the Naz Mitru-Long. What's up, crew?
Just another day in paradise.
Yep, that's it, man.
Naz, have you been doing this the cycling?
I have. I got two classes in, man. I highly recommend it. It's challenging. It's big time, man. And them little weights, 4 pounders, 2 pounders, feel like they're 50 when you're going. So
there's weights on the bikes?
You pick it up. You pick
Williams,
it up.
Williams, you don't get to ask questions about it until you just come and attend. I mean, all I did was shot Naz a text and was like, hey, man, you want to come try it?
I don't live in Ames. He lives, like, across the street. Like, I have to drive 40 minutes to
get here. I just want people to know that I told Chris, with us is 10:38, and I told him we have an 11:45 class with actually 6 open bikes.
Yeah.
And Billy and you are similar size, both svelte, good-looking, you know, 3, 4, 5% body fat.
This is true.
So as far as, like, sharing clothes, like, I could totally have Billy drop clothes off that you could borrow to jump in a class. So
at what point can Billy and I have like a competition on the bikes?
You got well. Ooh, I guess you'd have to come in first. Yeah, you'd have to be like Naz. Billy did a 6:15 this morning. Coach did it. I mean, it's the hottest thing in Ames right now, William. So next time you're here, we'll look forward to you riding.
I'll only do it if I'm competing.
Okay,
with
then
somebody
text your boy Billy.
All right.
He's,
we're going one-on-one.
He's only had three
Get Carper and Billy, and it's on.
Billy's only had 3 open heart surgeries, so I think that's actually a pretty fair, competitive person for you to go against.
Well, now you make me feel bad. I'll never forget the first time Billy and I were just becoming friends. This was a really long time ago, and we played golf together. It was on my birthday, actually. And we went out to Vinker, and I hadn't played golf in like 2 or 3 years. And I thought Billy was going to be a hack.
No, he's an exceptional golfer.
He's like a scratch golfer.
Yeah, he would tell you otherwise.
I had no idea. And I think I lost like 20-some balls that day.
Jeez. Yeah.
And he just kicked my ass up and down the – it was really embarrassing. So maybe there's one thing I can beat him in.
You might be able to beat him in spin golf. Probably not.
Ain't happening. The reason we are here today – is we're going to – you guys are having a camp. The first ever Naz Mitru-Long basketball camp. Is that what it's called?
Yes, sir.
You got your name on it, man.
Yeah, feels good, man. Want to thank Lindsey for that. It's awesome.
So this is basically, though, like the same type of deal you did with George last year, right? Is that accurate?
Similar in the setup sense. Similar in that I really wanted to capitalize on, you know, not just a great player, but a great person who's really good with kids. I mean, I think that's the one thing that – people don't, you know, they just think, oh, I'm just grabbing Naz. We're picking a date. We're putting a gym together, and we're going. I mean, Naz and George both have worked for me. at summer camps, at fall camps. So I've watched them interact with kids, and mm-hmm. they made $15 an hour like everyone else did, and they were exceptional with the kids. And I said, well, the 50 to 75 hours of work it'll take to actually happen on June 9th is 100% worth it because of the human beings they are. And, you know, I watch other celebrity camps, and they'll just show up for an hour and high five the kids, sign a couple autographs, and leave. Naz will be the first one in the building, and he'll be the last one to leave. And I don't have to ask him to do that. He knows that this is not about him. It's about him coming back in the middle of his professional preparation time and saying, this is worth it for me to fly 2,000 miles back and do. But it's all for the kids, and it's cool for me to be a catalyst to make this happen. Could Naz find someone else? I'm sure. But he knows a certain level he's going to get with what I do with my camps. And so similar, but it's also a little different in that it's actually only 3 hours for younger kids in the morning and then 3 hours for older kids in the afternoon, whereas George was more of the full day, and George's in July is a little longer day. But we thought this would give twice as many kids the chance to work with Naz one last time.
You tweeted something when this came out, like, you can finally give back. There's so many restrictions on a student athlete where you can't do stuff like this. Mm-hmm. And why was this important to you?
Just because this is kind of what sparked my love for the game, man. You know, being in Raptor ball camps when I was a kid, fifth grade, sixth grade, you know, I had coaches and mentors who kind of, you know, showed me that the love for the game is a lot bigger than just a basketball going in the hoop. And, you know, like I said, that sparked, you know, mm-hmm. my love for it. And I knew one day that I'd want to give back, you know, because, I mean, you have however many kids you have in your camp, and all it takes is just to, you know, spark one mind, and I mean that could really put them on a path to success. So you know, I was waiting for the day that I'd be able to do it. Did I ever think I'd be able to? I mean, you don't know.
Yeah.
But you hope and pray for it, and here we are.
So to carry this conversation, you and George specifically, and I think to really this whole era, the fact that you guys went to six straight tournaments is one thing. I think, and Lindsay, I'd be interested to get your take as well from the outside looking in. I think the reason this era will be looked back as special is because it was the personalities of all of you guys. We got to sit back and watch you. I remember when you came in, we're like, oh, he's a seventh or eighth man.
Yeah. Right.
Good teammate. You know, all the cliches. And then you watched you develop into one of the best players in the Big 12. It was fun with Matt. Matt struggled so much that freshman year. He wasn't even playing poorly, but he was so damn sensitive, right?
Right.
And we watched him grow up into this guy. We watched Monte go from the guy who, you know, he became. In George's personality, you know what I'm saying? That, to me, is why it was special. The winning was great, but I think these guys will be remembered for their personalities and the characters that they were more than anything.
And I think what's been cool is they've showcased that through social media. And,
yeah.
You know, I think both guys have also done a really good job of saying, hey, they could sit on social media all day long. And, you know, the amount of responses that they get. But I think they were open enough to share just enough to show a kid, man, if you work hard, or, you know, Naz will post sort of his slogan, if you call it, like the 25-8, which is one extra hour in a day, one extra day in a week, instead of 24/7. He posts that, there's probably 500 kids that see that and instantly are like, ah, maybe I should do 100 push-ups before bed, or maybe I should go in my garage and work on my ball handling for 20 minutes. And I think that's what always has intrigued me about these two guys, is they understand their impact. They understand their legacy, and they understand if they can post meaningful things a few times a week, maybe a young kid's gonna make a better decision. And so I think the fact that they shared enough of that without it being like, you know, taking over their lives, I think also was just a testament to their character of understanding.
I know that fans feel like they're connected to you and George and Monte and everybody. Do you guys feel that too? Is that a two-way street?
Yeah, no question. You know, and that connects with everything you just said. You know, we came in with a plan to be a great program, but, you know, on the grand scheme of things, of the professionals who look into the program, they wouldn't have thought that we'd win three championships, win as many games as we did. You know, guys pan out to be the players that they were. And a lot of that has to go with the fans, man, for them motivating and believing in us. I mean, if you have a fan base who just turns their back on you, doesn't show up for games, doesn't, you know, push you to come back from down 20 point games at home. I mean, you don't become, you know, the player that you can become. You know, it's as if you have a family away from your home, and that's exactly what these people are. So without them, without the connection that we built, we wouldn't have won as many games or had the success that we did.
Now that you've had a few weeks, almost a month now, to reflect, how was the career? Was it everything you thought it would be, more?
Yeah, it was everything I thought it'd be, and some. You know, do I wish that we would have went a little deeper some years? The woulda, coulda, shouldas, yeah, you know. But it was, at the end of the day, when you look back, you look at the three Big 12 championships, you look at the Sweet 16s, you look at all the wins and everything we've been through. Again, being up one on Iowa, you know, they'll never be able to say that they had a better record than us, even though they beat us this year.
Yep.
Never losing on a senior night, the whole nine yards. Man, I look back and I really took this month to take a step back from social media and everything and just let it all soak in, having traveling as much as I've done. And I wouldn't trade, you know, these 4 to 5 years for anything, man. They've been nothing short of special.
I want to talk to you guys about some other stuff too, but let's get the camp stuff out there. June 9th?
June 9th, so Friday, June 9th, it'll be at the Attack Fieldhouse, which is right here in Ames, right off Highway 30. 9 a.m. to noon is the third to sixth grade, and then 1 to 4 will be seventh through high school. It's $75. I can tell you right now, I checked registration numbers this morning. I think we have 30 spots left for the morning, and we have about 50% capacity for the afternoon.
All so, right.
For the older kids, it's boys and girls. T-shirts we'll have available. Every athlete will receive a picture, you know, not with Naz individually, because we don't have the time to repurpose that many. But they'll all receive a little signed shooting workout from Naz. So here's a great shooting workout. It'll be a little different from the younger to the older ones. And then for people who have experience in Naz, has worked, you know, my camps is, we don't waste a lot of time. Coaches aren't on their phones. I'll take Naz's phone and hand it to somebody for social media, and they'll be posting from it. But, you know, the one thing I realized in balancing with George's last year is there's this, like, we want to just stare at Naz and look at Naz all day. But then there's the other part of me that's like, we're not going to waste 3 hours and $75. So we're going to sweat. We're going to work. You're going to interact with Naz. You're going to learn from Naz. But there's also intention behind what we're doing, and I loved how Naz talked about that spark. So they'll hear a lot from him. I'll run all the registration and the back end and all that, but it's the Naz Meet Your Long Camp. So we'll sit down as it gets closer and iron out the curriculum and schedule and go from there.
All right.
But it should be a fun
day.
How do you
sign up? Is there like a website or?
Yeah, it's just Naz.
Naz Long.
Naz Long,
yeah, I don't think
Camp.
In it. Yep.
You're confusing everybody.
Yeah, I know. I'm switching up back and forth. You know,
that's the only thing.
On that's
the only thing. Yeah, Naz's mom does follow me on Instagram now. So every time I'm like, oh gosh, I wish it. But it was the only thing in the initial setup we thought was actually a little easier and got done ahead of the time to set up. So
between you and Bab, man. I've never written out so many hyphens in my life this last year.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. But, you know, it's a smoother name, man. People don't even know how to say it, let alone spell it. So, you know, Naz Long.
The other cool thing, and well, you can see the basket right there, is I've always asked Naz and George to tie some sort of cause to what they do. And so they've donated Iowa State items, including two pairs of shoes. Naz had hip surgery here at Mary Greeley Hospital. I do a lot of volunteer work for him, and so Mary Greeley was a really easy choice for what we're going to do. So what we do with that is during the morning and during the afternoon session, there's a live auction taking place where while the kids are training, parents can be bidding on items, and every dollar of that goes back to Mary Greeley, which will be a pretty cool thing to write them a check at the end of the day.
Good stuff. I want to come to the camp.
I was going to say, there's a really nice vest over there. I might be.
I don't think I could keep up, though.
Well, Williams, you know, you're always welcome.
I know.
Always welcome.
How was Portsmouth?
It was awesome.
You kicked ass, I saw.
Yeah.
We were keeping up. You played really well.
Yeah, I played well. You know, I did some good things out there. I got a lot of opportunities to sit in front of some NBA guys and things like that. You know, but, man, I'm blessed, you know. Talking about the double hip surgery, you know, I heard everything from you're not going to be the same, you know, just throw in the white towel, just stop playing, you should just be a coach now, you know what I'm saying, like all that. And, you know, I get an opportunity to go to Portsmouth and be a part of the top 65 seniors and make the all-tournament team. So It was awesome.
How so what are you, I know a lot of fans are probably curious what your schedule's like now. What are you doing?
Well, I mean, I'm in the gym every single day. Nothing's changed with that. You know, but basically, you know, I'm signed with an agency now. You know, so I kind of have my schedule down packed to where, you know, I leave out to New York here soon. Ship out there and get workouts in twice a day every day until you know, the NBA workouts start to ramp up and you don't have to travel to different teams and play for them, work out for them. And, you know, I'm hoping to, you know, maybe get an NBA combine invite. I know they take, I think, three guys from the all-tournament team at Portsmouth. So, fingers crossed on that. But, you know, chances of that happening are slim.
You played against Deontay down there, right?
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't play against? Yeah. Okay, I thought I saw that you guys went against
him. He wasn't the guy that got posterized in that dunk from the
– That dunk from Saturday night? Is that the one you're talking about?
If you look at the widescreen version of it and you look to the top left of the screen, you see a guy running down the stairs. That's me. I was screaming in the gym. That was nasty.
His – the one he did on Swanigan – Swanigan was just insane.
Yeah, front live.
That's one of my favorite. Now he had the one against West Virginia.
That's the dunk of the year.
I think so too.
Yeah, that's the dunk of the year. That doesn't get enough praise at the Big 12.
No, the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It was the one that basically iced the game.
Yeah.
That doesn't get enough credit. That does not. I mean, the circumstance of the game, the situation, over a 6'10" dude, and it was a foul that didn't get called. You know what I'm saying? That was the dunk of the year for sure.
Yeah. No, the Swanigan one was I don't want to bring back bad memories, but when you guys came back and took the lead, I would have put every penny I have in retirement that you guys are going to win that game.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny, man.
Sorry to drum it up.
Yeah, it's all good.
I could just
it's
see the look
good.
On your face when I said that.
Yeah.
Is it the Wisconsin game? Is that what you guys are talking about?
No, I'm talking about the Purdue game.
Oh, sorry, the Purdue game.
Yeah,
I get all these, you know, it's just whatever
it's
that conference. It's just kind
I'll
of another Big
that.
Ten school.
Well,
you know,
you
we
that.
Were landing from Connecticut after we lost.
Yeah.
And we were landing, and it was like literally as we were landing, there was like 38.2 seconds left, and everyone's got their iPads out, and we're all looking over each other's shoulders. But what a fun year for both teams.
My favorite story of that is when you guys beat Kansas this year in Allen Fieldhouse. And you guys had just beaten
West Virginia,
who was ranked as well, because Bloom called that game with you.
Yep. They just kind of give me the scraps, I mean, for that one.
Yeah, no kidding. Bloom was telling me that everybody landed. You flip on your phones and saw that those guys had won that game and what the reaction was like in the plane was pretty epic.
I mean, let's be real. Like, you know, they say you're not supposed to turn your phone on until you – well, as soon as people are – we start seeing – you know, when you can, like, recognize Jack Trice and Hilton Coliseum, everyone's turning their phones on. And I remember a tweet Billy sent. We were still 10 minutes in the air from landing, but we were starting to get it. And it wasn't until about a month later, Katie Prohm and I, Coach Prohm's wife, our kids do gymnastics together. Model students listen to us every time,
I'm sure.
but Katie and I were talking about just how epic it was. I think it was February 4th that to have both programs' seasons completely do a 180 on the same day.
Right, yeah.
And when we looked back a month later, I think they had won six. We'd won six out of seven, and they had rattled off like six or seven in a row. And you know, that's part of the atmosphere that I don't think. You know, I give these guys a lot of credit, but I think there's this family, this you know, for Katie Prohm and I to be celebrating together in the middle of the gymnastics class is also a testament to the staffs and what they've modeled for the student athletes here.
Something's different here. Frankly, I've never really left because I loved it so much. I never, like, in my career was like, oh, I want to go to Chicago or ESPN or anything because I love it here so much. Mm-hmm. Like, because and it's because of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I know it bleeds down to you guys.
Yeah, no question. It's special. Nobody wants to leave here, man. That's why George has come back as many times as he has.
We all
want
to come back,
Yeah, you're not going to Vegas. You're not going to Miami. You're coming back to Ames.
Yeah,
you know?
Like it's All-Star Weekend.
Yeah.
And George is like, I'm coming back to Ames. It's February 14th, George.
Yeah.
Go to Florida. Go get on the beach. Go to. He's like, no, I'm going to come back and hang with Naz and the boys and do whatever. All right, sounds good. See you soon.
It's the simple things, you know. People love the simple things in life, you know, and that's what Ames brings. That's why I love it, you know. There's not no crazy limelight or anything like that, but there's just people who love each other. So that's why this place is special, man.
So I know I had probably a 30-minute conversation last week with Lindell Wigginton, and he was talking to me about you specifically. I think that you need to get an assist in that recruitment. From what it sounds like, because from what he explained to me, you did two things for him. One, you kind of outlined what we were just talking about. And two, you really amped the pressure on him to make the tournament next year to keep the streak going.
Yeah.
What's his what should Iowa State fans expect in this kid?
A hard-nosed kid who has a chip on his shoulder. You know, got snubbed from some things this year. I'm not afraid to say that.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like he was a top 25 player in the country. Should have been a Mickey D. Should have been a Jordan Brand. Wasn't. And I think, you know, Iowa State should be thankful for that because he's coming in here looking for revenge, man. He knows that he has to come in and replace someone with, you know, that left his jersey in a better place in Monte. And we have some good pieces. But, you know, he has a lot to prove coming in with the vibes and hype that he does. But he's going to come in ready to work, man. He's going to take everything. He doesn't want no handouts. It's a kid that's ready for the challenge, man. And I'm super excited to see what he's going to do next year.
There's a background there, too. You knew his brother?
Yeah. Yeah, Rodell. We played against him here, actually.
Really?
He played on Buffalo. Yeah, he was a really good player.
Oh, so that Buffalo team from last year?
Yeah.
That went to the tournament?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
They won their conference. You know, yeah. He's a heck of a player. I played with him in the All-Canada game when we were younger, his brother. I took a charge on him when he was going to, you know, go dunk in an All-Star game. So that goes to show how much I was willing to kill vibes. But, yeah, no, his brother's a heck of a dude, good player, man.
Is his last name Wigginton?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I never knew that he played on that Buffalo team.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people didn't know. But if you, as soon as you see a picture of him, you'll be like, all right, yeah, they're basically twins. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I had no idea about that connection. He just was telling me about how you were friends with his brother and, you know, the Canadian connection. Like that? You can another Canadian?
Yeah.
No Melvin, you, now somebody's carrying the torch?
Yeah, we got to keep it going, you know, and we're working on some other Canadians as well. Man, that's kind of my role now, too. You know, coaches hit me up and, you know, they say talk to some Canadians, put in a good word. And, I mean, you see any games now, you know, and you know for yourself, you know what I'm saying? And Rodell playing here helped too because he said everything what Hill Magic was to Lindell. And
yeah,
I chimed in my little information and we got that done.
That's fascinating. I wish I would have known that because I wrote a 1,200-word story about Lindell that I posted today and I hadn't.
I read it this morning at 6:30. It was good.
Well, thank you.
It was good.
Well, but, I'm glad somebody's reading.
I was kind of like, I better
get the stars in his eyes.
I need to get caught up on what's new in Chris Williams' life since I'm going to see him today. But I think that's another thing. Like, when you think about Naz Long and all the things he could be doing in his free time. And
it's me, True Long.
Me, True Long. But is, like, in his free time, he's texting recruits that he's never going to play with. But he wants Iowa State to be successful. Like, I don't think you can – you can't put a dollar amount. You can't put it. Although, do you see the coaches bought him a new Mercedes out there for getting Wigginton? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I just like starting rumors.
The compliance office.
I was about to say,
come
by me. I ain't rolling.
No, but I think it's a really cool. Again, it's just another, like, not notch on the belt. I don't even know how you say it, but a character trait.
Absolutely.
Of. It's not about him. I mean, he could be running around town and getting free meal after free meal and getting just all sorts of things where he could sort of abuse being Naz Mitrulong. Instead, he uses that for his benefit to benefit all these other people, including a program that he's never going to put on a jersey for again. So I think it's remarkable.
I got a feeling Naz is a lifer. Here's my prediction. Prohm's going to retire from here in about 10 years. He's going to go coach like the Pistons or something.
By the way, how about Freddie Hoiberg?
We're talking to the next head coach at Iowa State.
You
right
think
here.
So?
I.
We'll see, man.
I had that marked down. I'm all joking aside. Where are you at in 10 years? What do you want to be doing in 10 years?
You know, again, I just want to play. You know, for as long as I can.
As long as you can.
You know,
do you 10
want to
years
coach? Comes up, no question. As soon as I'm done playing, I'm getting right into it. You know, I'm not going to waste no time because I know that's what I want to do. I want to stay around the game, and you know, I want to coach, man. The game's so beautiful, and I'm as competitive as I am, and even when I'm coaching a thing at camp, you know, I want my team to win. I could just imagine being on the big stage, you know, helping your team you know, get to some victories. That's definitely what I want to do.
I know you're a gym rat. Are you a film nut too?
Yeah, no question. Yeah,
I guess I've never talked to you about that.
Yeah. No, like I sat in front of some NBA guys, like I said, in Portsmouth, and they actually asked me that too. And you know, I'm surprised that question comes up because, you know, I feel like if you play the game, it should come hand in hand with film. But you're right. A lot of people don't, you know, kind of study and break down film like they should. And, I mean, I'm watching film ins and outs. Guys I'm guarding, the secondary guys I'm guarding, the way guys guard other guys, you know, where I can get my shots, the whole nine.
While we're loving up, Naz, that was another thing that impressed me about you this year, though, was all the talk that I heard about your obsession with defense.
Yeah.
Where did that come from, though? Because you're coming off of a hip surgery, and all we're hearing is –
Oh, lateral, you know, quickness. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And like, man, his jump shot's never going to be the same and all this stuff. And then you come out and you're obsessed with defense all of a sudden.
Yeah. You know, that it was kind of because of that. You know, everything that I was hearing, you know, not going to be the same in here, da da da, whatever. And then coach is coming in with a defensive mindset. I really wanted to be that presence. You know, low-key, I was guarding a lot of guys. Yeah. That was the other team's best player. Did decent jobs in the past. But this year, I really wanted to make it an emphasis. So, you know, I just was always saying first team, first team, first team all year. You know, knew I wasn't going to be first team all defense, you know, because of some of the guys' numbers. You know, you need the blocks and stuff. I don't got that.
Yeah, I don't – the way they do that,
yeah,
is bogus. Yeah, I mean, when Babb didn't get – like the defensive player of the year in the Big 12 that year, I really kind of lost all faith in how defensive players are judged.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's like judging an offensive lineman in football. Like, the more often than not, the guys who will get it are guys who, you know, like Pro Bowlers in the NFL. It's just name recognition more than anything. And like that, I mean, your number, like if you stacked up, and I don't know him specifically, but it reminded me a lot of Babb. His junior or senior year, one of the two. Did he play 2 years at Iowa State? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Regardless, the numbers that these guys were putting up normally, and then when you guys were on them,
yeah,
were significantly less. I know you took a lot of pride in that.
Yeah, no, Schultz broke that down, actually, and one of our managers as well broke that down. And, you know, the numbers looked real good, but, you know, those days are over. I'm not going to sit in the past.
I will. I'll sit here and fight for you.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man.
This is America's favorite Monday morning quarterback.
Favorite, with quotations, please.
You guys started talking defense, and I don't think I played a possession of that here at Iowa State. So you guys lost me at defense.
What was that like now, looking back? Because I always compare Fred, and maybe this isn't fair. But Fred's my boy, so I can say it. I'd say it to his face, and he'd laugh at me. I always compare him to Cliff Kingsbury. In football, where it's just like Kingsbury wants to score 75 points, and if the other team scores 65, well, you scored more than him, right?
Right.
I mean, I heard stories about Fred's practices. It's not like he didn't care about defense, but he was offensive guy, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, this Southern guy comes in, and he wants you guys to play defense all of a sudden.
Yeah.
What was that like? Because there had to be a transition there.
Oh, there was a nice transition.
Steve and Fred are like...
Nice is a gentle word.
Nice.
Steve and Fred are really different guys.
Uh-huh.
They're both mild-mannered, and they're both really good dudes, but they're really different. I always wanted to be a fly on the wall in those first 2 months of the Prohm era.
Yeah. You know, it was a nice little transition, especially for me, because I got to sit on a little stool on the sideline going through my hip surgery, so I didn't have to do all the defensive slides and stuff like that in the beginning. You know, but I was cheering on my guys, man, and it was definitely a nice little emphasis as far as Shell. You know, we went from finishing practice to getting a nice little bucket score to getting a super stop, you know what I'm saying? And that's as far as diving on the ground or taking a charge or something like that, so... It was a nice transition, that's to say the least.
Well, you guys were, I think, top 30 in defensive efficiency your last year. That's incredible.
Yeah.
When you look at your guys' numbers from early in your career, when you – like, I mean, you guys were elite offensively, but your defensive numbers were not really – it was really an incredible thing to watch.
Right.
And I know you don't know anything about defense, mm-mm, Lindsay, but –
What is a charge?
You'll love this. This is totally off topic, but I don't know if the Billy. I texted Billy a picture of my daughter dunking on this little hoop that we got her.
No,
I don't know if he showed it to you. So I sent it to Bill, and Bill's response was it wasn't like that's cute or anything. He goes, "Yeah, but can she shoot the three?"
Yeah,
I like it.
I'm Fenley through and through now. Yeah, I remember when he recruited me, he was like, you can sit in a 2-3 zone. I'm like, where's Iowa, Idaho, Ohio? I don't care. Sounds good. Sign me up. I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, I think the other part about Naz's game that probably didn't get enough love, and this is a funny one that kind of relates to camp, is I wanted to call it the Naz Mitrulong shooting camp. And Naz was like, uh-uh. He's like, I'm a scorer. And I think that's one of the things, like, every single time I would watch an Iowa State game this year, and Naz would – I remember for some reason, clear as day, at West Virginia – he made a couple threes, and then, like, the next possession in the first half, he took one or two dribbles and finished with a really nice reverse left-hand layup, and I'm like, all right, we can call it the scorer's camp. You know, but it was transition. I think that's one thing. He really changed his game.
I think that – I know you are a shooter. I don't want to take that away from you. I think the strength of your game this last year was your ability to get to the rim.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
I do. And, I think midway through the year, I had no idea, but there was a point I was leading the Big 12 in two-point field goal percentage. And
that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it kind of did at the beginning, but then it made sense because, I feel like I wasn't really missing a lot of layups, and I was taking what was given to me. And, I got to credit my guys that was working with me all summer to get me right with that. They kept me locked in, but, I just took what was given to me, man.
What did you do? I mean, because that's a weird skill to just all of a sudden, have advance like it did for you in your fifth year at a school. Was that a cognizant deal last summer where you're like, I need to be able to get to the rim more?
It was. Coming to Iowa State, you probably knew, I was a point guard. I could finish. I could pass.
I remember that this is a point guard coming in days. Yeah. And I watched you the first time. I'm like, he's not no point guard.
Nah, you know what I'm saying? And I had stronger abilities, in other areas. And Fred, really brought that out. But what I'm getting at is, I was able to do those things, but I'm a guy where if I get put in a role and this is my role, I have to maximize this role. That's what I'm going to do. But then it got to a point where we started realizing, look, we're losing George, we're losing Abdul, we're losing Jamil. Yeah. You got to do more. You got to rebound. You got to finish at the rim. So all it really was a mindset, clicking back into it and understanding that, look, I have to work on it, but really apply it to the games. And that's all it was.
What about Abdul?
Special.
My God.
Yeah, special.
He's been phenomenal.
Yeah, but, I'm not really surprised at what he's been doing. I was telling a bunch of people that I was talking to, Abdul's going to get drafted before he got drafted. And that's the thing about him. He doesn't get enough credit, man, because he really played his role here at Iowa State. He's way more than a 13-point scorer, but he accepted the fact that our offense went through George. And he played his role great. Now he's on a stage where you get to be more. He's playing damn near point guard for Maine.
Yeah.
And, look where he is.
I think he'll be in the league for 10 years.
Oh, no question. He's a healthy guy.
And it's sad, too, because I think Bryce would have as well.
Yeah. Rest in peace, to Bryce. But he definitely would have as well, both of them. That was his roommate, I know Abdul's living out the dream for him as well, and we all are.
Yeah.
And, he's looking down. I know he's smiling right now. So,
yeah.
Everything's all smooth.
Yeah. Man, I just remember last, like you were saying, I know some people in the D-League, and they were watching a lot of the pre-draft workouts, and Abdul was just blowing people away.
Yeah, yeah. He was killing all his workouts, all of them. And
so you got to do that now.
Yeah, now it's my turn, Now it's my turn. And, I think I was in this position for a reason. God put me here because I get to talk to George. I get to talk to Abdul and guys who went through the process, and they let me know, look, number one thing is just be in shape, so I'm ready for it.
What about Deontay and Monte? Are you going through this together? Is this kind of you break off into as individuals now? How does that work?
I'd say, it's a little more an individual thing now because, we're not with the same agencies and we're all
and Matt, too. I should throw Matt into that. Yeah,
Matt as well. But, we stay in contact. We all, we were just teammates an hour ago, what I'm saying? So it's not like we're all just gone in the abyss now, but it's all kind of individualized now.
This is good stuff. I wish we could talk forever, but we've got a cycling class that's going to be here pretty soon.
Yeah, you got shoes and clothes coming, Williams.
Shut up. I got things to do. I'm a busy man.
Oh.
Naz, it's been awesome, man. I want you to keep in touch with all of us and hope your camp goes well, and we all appreciate it. I know there's a lot of people listening who would extend that as well.
Yeah.
It's been fun watching you, man. I'm not kidding. I remember when you got brought in and the – we're like, man, we really like this kid. We know he's going to work hard. He's probably a seventh or eighth man. And then I saw you play at Cap City that summer. I'm like, that's not a seventh or eighth man.
Yeah.
It's been fun, though. That's the most gratifying part of my job for me is the transfers and stuff, they get all the headlines. But I love watching guys like you, and especially on the girls' side, because you see it more often where they're there for 4 or 5 years just watching them grow.
Yeah, although Billy's phone will not stop ringing right now, which – means transfer. I mean, it's unbelievable. We could do a whole podcast on transferring.
We should, because it's fascinating to me.
I'm a mother of one, soon to be two. I could cuss up and down about transfers. I mean, it blows my mind. But going back to Naz,
I think a guy who could have transferred.
Well, could it? And that's what I was going to say. I remember when he had his hip surgery, and everyone was like, oh, he's not even going to graduate with his boys, and da da da. And he's going to go. I mean, I heard every school in the book, and then I think he came out and posted something a few weeks after that was like, hey, I'm in it for the long haul. And, he doesn't get I don't know if credit's the right word, but everyone else, grass is greener on the other side. Everyone else right now is bouncing to bigger and better, and the fact that he stayed. And I'll say this about his camp, and I told him and George this from the start. These are annual for a reason. This is going to be something that will bring NASMe Truelong back every single summer as long as these guys are wanting to do it, because I don't think I'm going anywhere. I might. Who knows? But
what's that mean?
Well, I don't know.
Is Billy
getting
a head coaching job somewhere?
I'm not. I cannot say anything. The phone's rung a little bit this year, which has been exciting.
That's good.
So, yeah, we'll see. I don't know much.
Not to quote Gene Chizik, but you guys are entrenched in Ames.
I actually just reread the story about Kelsey and I opening this place, and the very last quote was, "We signed a 5-year lease. We're not going anywhere," and it kind of has extra special meaning over the last few weeks, which is a good thing. I mean, we'll see what happens. But
I know you can't talk about it, but your family's been through hell and back.
Hell's, I think, an understatement. But
I tweeted this the night after the news broke, and I mean it. Like, of all the headlines I've written while covering Iowa State since 2004, none gave me a bigger smile than that one.
Yeah, it's been it was almost exactly a year to the day, and you know me, I try and find a positive in everything, but to think about the band of players that we now have, like, that's the one silver lining in all this. What that person created was essentially, it will be the greatest party Ames has ever seen, is when Coach Fenley graduates, and I now have the list of players who will be invited and who are a part of it and who had his back, and it is going to be an unreal party that I hope you get an invite to.
I hope I get one too.
I know. But to watch him go through that, I'd be lying if I didn't say the last week or so I've seen. I mentioned that to Billy on Easter Sunday. I said, you can tell someone who didn't deserve, he didn't sleep. He probably didn't sleep more than 2 to 3 hours a night over the last year.
And he you could tell by looking at him too. Yeah. He was just and that to me is what made the comeback they had in that season more special.
Yeah.
It was because of all years where you could have, you know, like Naz could have you could have transferred after your freshman year. Mm-hmm. You didn't play a lot down the stretch your freshman year, but you kept at it, and you were one of the primary guys on that team that sophomore year. I'll never forget the Oklahoma State game. Oh, Naz is here. The triple overtime win, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I look at that situation, though. I mean, he could have retired.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got plenty of money. And he kept at it, and now he gets his new contract, and it's just a really gratifying thing to watch.
Yeah, it's been a good week in the Fenley household. I mean, he's never going to say much, and he never – but those of us that know him really well, you could tell that was a man whose character was dragged through the mud that should have never been.
This is the problem I have too, and I'm being in the media, like I understand how this happens. But I saw this happen this happens in every topic where – an accusation of something gets front page news.
Yeah.
And then when the situation is rectified and somebody's name is cleared, it's fifth page news.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. It's not right, but that's the way it is, because we live in a society where people, you click on the bad news.
Right.
And that's wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know how as a society we changed that, but that kind of just was glaring to me over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think and that was something I even consciously said, all right, how much of, you know, because I was essentially the Iowa State and Fenley family SID last year.
Yeah, you were.
For that week, which was as exhausting a week as I've ever been through, but it was worth it. But when I think about it, there was part of me that was like, do I rally the troops and get everyone going again? And I made sure to let all the former players know first, hey, this happened today and it's great. But I also didn't want to make it a bigger news, because it was kind of like, you know what?
No, I know.
You had your last chance of fame, and it's over and done now. And there's a lot I could say that I really can't.
In 5 years.
Yeah.
We'll have some beers and do a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Naz is invited, and we'll bring back. I'm telling you, whenever that man retires, it is going to be, you know, I could get emotional when I think of George's impact and Naz's impact. But when you talk about a man who he literally cares about three things in life: his family, the St. Louis Cardinals, and Iowa State. And
I've always said it, Bill Finley's the cornerstone of Iowa State. We talk about this culture around here. Like, it, to me, that since I've been around, at least, and I haven't been here from the start, but I've been around. I mean, I came around right when Pollard did.
Yeah.
So I've seen, and Jamie's been integral in building that from the ground up. But Bill is the guy. Like, Bill's the one who can take you back to McCarney. Yeah. He can take you back to Floyd. You stay, like, he's the one constant who's been here the whole time.
He's a boss, man. We were at Size House of Trivia, man, and we crossed paths real quick, and I had to stop him and get a picture with him, and he's like, picture with me.
I'm
like,
hey,
I want a picture with you. You know, I want a picture with you, man. I had to snag one of those. That's a legend right there for sure.
He is the cornerstone.
And I think that's what made last spring so, so emotionally charging and hard was you can go to a lot of people and you can go to a lot of people for a lot of things, but to attack his character, you're insane. And I'll never forget. Naz reached out to me. George reached out to me. These guys were some of the first guys I heard from last year. And that, again, meant so much to me that they knew this is not just somebody's coach. This is somebody's grandpa.
Yeah.
Five
the second
years from
dad
now.
To a lot of people, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Which is weird because I then married his kid, who's way better looking.
It's a weird deal. I tell this story every time Lindsay's on. I don't know if I should tell it anymore.
You can tell it. I mean, you know what? I think we were 21 at the time.
So. Yeah. The first time I ever tasted alcohol was with Lindsay. Ever.
If anyone's listening to the podcast,
Lindsay
at this
encouraged
point,
me. Lindsay pushed me down a bad road.
Oh, man.
For a while, I was endorsing Busch Light. What's wrong with me? It's all Lindsay's fault.
Work hard and play harder, Williams.
Naz, we love you, man. Kick some butt. We'll be following you the whole way.
Thank you.
You're always welcome to join us here on the podcast.
Appreciate it, man.
Anytime you want.
Let's you come to camp, do a podcast over lunch or
yeah, well,
we don't want to do anything to take away from the kids.
June 9th,
Friday. Lunch is from 12 to 1.
Yeah.
Take some pictures and stuff.
Yeah,
it'll be fun.
Come up, hang out.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Have you done,
we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Naz Mitrulong, Lindsay Fennelly. Hope you guys enjoyed this. I know you did. Have a great rest of your Wednesday.